You know what a blue flame is? It's the hottest one, isn't it? It's the deepest. It's not the one that jumps right out in front. I mean, you look at fire and you think orange and red and yellow, and that's what is prominently out there. But the deeper, the hottest, the core, that's the blue flame. Have you let him burn in the deepest part of you? You know that blue flame? It's different. It's different than the red fire. It's going after those deeper things, those hidden things, those quiet things, those intimate things. I'm going to paint that flame one of these days. This morning I got caught up in blue, and I just got hit in my van when I was driving with that blue flame, and God spelled it out for me, B-L-U-E, burning, living, unquenchable, everlasting. He wants to go deeper, deeper, deeper in you today. Ask him to go deeper today. Nothing hiding. If I disappear in the middle of Harvey's preaching, it's because I'm going home to paint that blue flame. It's in my eyes, it's on my lips, it's just in my spirit. And I've been waiting for it. I have a vase already painted on canvas waiting for the right day to paint the blue flame. So if I disappear, that's where I went. Before Harvey comes, I don't want to forget. I think we're canceled on women's meeting, right? Where's somebody that knows? Okay, there she is. There's no women's meeting tonight. Men are going deer hunting, so they'll be for opening day, and we don't have babysitters. And Tana wants to bring a word that God shared with her real quick, and then Harvey's going to preach.
Felt like God gave me a word for the congregation here last Saturday night during prayer. And it's something that I'd like you to take before the Lord and consider individually, because I don't know that he's calling us. I don't think he's calling us as a body necessarily to do this, but as individuals in the body. He wants to birth something, and we've known that for a long time, that God has a plan for this place, a ministry for this place, and it hasn't happened yet. We're in the preparation stage for that. He wants to birth something. But what he told me was that he wants us to seek him in fasting, to find out how he wants us to change our lives individually to get ready for his work. What? So the question is, Lord, as you're fasting, Lord, what do you want me to change, give up, adjust in order to get ready for the work you have for us? Fasting is not always food. Sometimes it's sleep. Sometimes it's some activity. We just have to seek the Lord. We can't make this a rule. We can't make religion out of this. And you know, the enemy would want to pervert that. He would want to come in with religion and say, well, I'm going to give up food for days now and seek the Lord. You know, if God wants you to do that, that's great, but don't let the enemy in to pervert it. He wants to birth something. I'll just say one more thing. I've learned something with the births and the pregnancies that I've had. I didn't know this in the beginning, but by Daniel, who's my fourth child, the Lord taught me a lot about health during his pregnancy. And he taught me, through other people, that those first 3 months, those, you know, you've heard of morning sickness, that is a detoxification, okay? It's kind of like an enforced fast that God puts on the women to get their bodies ready for the harder things that are going to be coming. That baby doesn't need a whole lot of calories just yet. So that mother doesn't need to necessarily eat a whole lot. So she gets sort of poisons in her body. And it doesn't feel good. It's kind of sickening, a sickening feeling. Getting rid of that, preparing her body to go through this pregnancy and birth, to be stronger, to be healthier, to be cleaner. And that's what God is saying, I think, to us. He wants us to find out what it is individually that we need to get rid of in order for Him to be able to do the work that He has for us and to birth what He wants to birth here.
Open your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. I want to show you something. Do you know that God loves you? Is there anybody else you know that loves you like Him? Is there? Some of you don't know that yet. God loves you. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you eternally. He chooses to love you. It's not because you did something to deserve Him to love you. Do you understand? He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. God loves you. He loves you. Jesus loves you. Just want you to know that, okay? This morning, I want to talk about something that's going to be, it's not like you can get deeper than love. It's that there's a place, I believe it's in Hebrews chapter 5, where it says, I speak unto you as unto babies. He said, because you're not receiving the meat. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you as if you were grown up. Hey, this thing's a little loud, and if I get loud, I mean, maybe you want to turn it down a little bit, just a little bit. You do whatever. I get loud. Like, it could happen. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. We're going to talk about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, or that he lives. And they must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe God lives? Well, there's someone here, you're not sure. You see, you can know about God and hear about him, but if you haven't met him, you don't know. You hope he lives. You think he might. Somebody said he did. Sometimes you feel like he does. Sometimes you're not sure that he does. But when you meet him, you can't deny that he lives. Have you ever met him? And when you meet him, then you know he lives. Okay? But in order to meet him, you have to believe that he lives before you can even meet him. Because God is invisible. It's not like Jimmy, like I can walk over and just shake God's hand like I can shake Jimmy's hand. Okay? Or Julian. It's not like I can walk up and touch him. He's invisible. But it says, but without faith, it's impossible to believe him. Now, if you want, hold your place here in Hebrews and go over to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, 17. And then we're going to come back to Hebrews and we're going to go through this chapter. You ready? Hebrews 10, 17. Are you there? What did I say? Okay, well, I was just checking you. Okay. Romans 10, 17. Are you there? All right. Are you there? It says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, let's just break that down real simple. You ready? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So how do we get faith? Let's just say it again. So how do we get faith? Now, if you want to believe in... whatever you feed on is what you're going to believe in. Okay? Whatever you feed on is what you're going to believe in. When I was into drugs and I hung out with liars and people that were doing drugs, guess what I believed? I believed whatever they said. That's why I hung around them. Are you with me? Are y'all listening? Okay. On purpose. Good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay. That's how you're going to get something. On purpose. Okay? You become what you associate with. Who you hang out with is what you're going to end up believing. Otherwise, you're not going to want to hang out with them. Because you can't both walk in the same direction if you're believing different things. Are you with me? It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Do me a favor. Say it with me. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We're going to say it again. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Hebrews 11:6. What does it say about faith? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, God loves me whether I'm pleasing Him or not. My wife chooses to love me whether I'm pleasing her or not. Okay? I know some of y'all think I'm perfect, but those of you who are delusional and take medicines, okay? But seriously, my wife loves me, but I don't always please her. Do you understand? God loves me whether I please Him or not, okay? But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You can't walk with Him. You can't honor Him. You can't serve Him. He can't flow through you. He can't bless you without faith. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? He loves you no matter what you do. Do you know He loves people right now? I hope you're hearing this because it breaks my heart that this is true, that there are people in hell right now suffering. And they don't have a second chance. And God loves them. My Father, my Heavenly Father, loves the people that are in hell. He created them for fellowship. They didn't choose that. They didn't choose to operate by faith. They didn't choose to believe Him. They didn't choose to believe that He would reward them. They didn't choose to trust in Him. They didn't come to Him for mercy. And they're in hell today. And He breaks His heart. And He cries. And He weeps. And He weeps. And He weeps. And He weeps. And He's grieved. Gut-wrenching grief. You ever been in a relationship? You know, you split up. You thought, this is it forever. Inside, gut-wrenching grief. God created you for fellowship. God created you to hang out with.
Yes.
You know what delights me? When I hear one of y'all talking, I could just be walking through a room and I hear one of y'all saying to somebody else about hanging out with God. I just love that y'all have been listening all this time and have been learning how to hang out with God. God loves you no matter what you do. He loves you. Your acceptance by God, your Him loving you is not based on what you do. You can't do more and get Him to love you more. Do you understand? He loves you 100% now. But there's people He loves 100%. You can hold your questions to the end. I can't. I mean, I gotta, okay? Or comments. I'll think. I'll pray. Okay, Lord? Okay, You let me know. All right. I don't do good with interruptions. Okay. Anybody that talks to me, right, Eric? Everybody knows that talks with me, I don't do good with interruptions. It's going to be a monologue, okay? After a while, I'll let you talk, okay? Maybe. If we have a long enough talk, okay? But I got to get it out first, okay? What I'm saying to you is, God loves you, and you can't do something to make Him love you more. My wife loves me, but I don't always please her. We can't have fellowship. We have a relationship, do you understand? Till death do us part. My folks got divorced when I was a kid, twice to each other. Once before I knew my dad, and then once, hours before I got into drugs. And I said to Sue, I am not ever going through divorce again. She loves me, but I don't always please her. We have a relationship, but the fellowship can be broken by choices I make, ways I treat her. Do you understand? Things I say. Do you understand? You can have a relationship with somebody and they love you to have and to hold from this day forward. For better or worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. We're getting ready to do that here within about a month or so, right, Dave? Okay? I'm sorry, I forgot. I should have asked Mrs. Day. I mean, well, it's not quite. But anyway. I want you to look at Hebrews. We're going to talk about the word faith for a second. How does faith come? Okay, we're going to say it together. How does faith come? Very good. Let's say it again. Faith comes by? Are you hearing the Word of God? Are you hearing the Word of God? How often? Are you hearing the Word of God? Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You see, a lot of people get to heaven because they came to Jesus. They saw Jesus on the cross for them. And they said, Jesus, God, I'm the one who deserved to die. It's my sin that killed you. It's me, my sin that killed you, Jesus. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I accept what you did for me. And they're born again. And they go to heaven. But while they're on this earth, many people that know Jesus are miserable because they don't walk by faith. But you get around people every now and then. See, I want to be one of those every now and then people that you run into. You get around them and it's like there's something different about that person. Because no matter what happens, they just like love God. And no matter what happens, they just keep walking with God. And no matter what happens, they just keep believing in God. No matter what. And it's like, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 8:2, it says, if a man loves God, it is known of him. But there's people that tell me they love God, but as one of the brothers last night said, it makes me confused when they tell me one thing, but I see something else in their life. I love God, but I don't want nothing to do with His house. I love God, but I don't want to follow Him. I love God, but I don't want to hear from Him. I love God, but I don't want to be around His people. I love God, but I want to act like the devil, live like the devil, talk like the devil, think like the devil, smell like the devil. And then you say, I don't understand what you mean by you love God. Is that something like those bumper stickers, I heart my chihuahua? Because that's a little too shallow for me. See, I need God. I love God. That means what I mean by I love God is He is everything to me. There was a voice I heard this morning talking about that. For to me, it's loving Jesus. For to me, it's Him loving me. I have got to have Him 24/7. I don't need a little patchwork Jesus, a little spare tire God when I'm going through a hard time. Oh, I just put a little Jesus on it and now everything's all right. It's not like that. It's like I need Him all the time. I want Him. I want to hear from Him. I want to be with Him. I've never met anybody like Jesus. I've never met anybody like Jesus. I've never met anybody like Jesus. I've met people that Jesus is in, and those are like the people I want to be around. The people that do love Him, those are the ones I want to be around. Yeah, I don't know if you know, but everybody you meet is, I think it's one of three. Remind me, Janaya. They're either a missionary, there's somebody who's bringing Jesus to me, they are a mission field, somebody I'm bringing Jesus to. What was the other one? I don't remember. But anyway, Yep, or they're a mission, or they're somebody I minister with. That's it. Okay? He's somebody I minister with. Do you understand? She's somebody I minister with. Because they both love Jesus and they're after Him. See, when you take a video of their life, what you see is you see them after Jesus. Now, I could take a snapshot, or you could take a snapshot of my life and find areas where it doesn't look like I'm after Jesus, because Harvey is still robed in this flesh, and Harvey gets selfish. Harvey gets mouthy. Harvey gets whatever Harvey gets, he gets extremely, okay? Flesh. Fleshy, fleshy, fleshy. Okay? But when you take a video of my life for the last 34 years, what you see is here's a guy, no matter what, he keeps going with Jesus. He falls down and messes up. He gets into sin, but he just keeps going with Jesus. And he does things wrong and, you know, messes with people's hair and lives and stuff. But he just keeps loving Jesus. And you just see him just keep following. And when he messes up, what he does is he crawls over so he can get to the blood of Jesus. So he could just get under the blood and get it all taken care of. And now he's okay because Jesus said, it is finished. Thank you, Jesus. Do you understand? But there's some people, when you look at their lives, the video, is it after Jesus? I'm not just talking about a snapshot where they mess up, because we all mess up. Mess up. Mess up, you mess up. That's when you get clean, when you fess up. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is, what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance. See, I believe in God. You say, well, how do you know he believes in God? Because there's something in his life. You can't see it, but there's something in Steve's life where he just holds on to. He holds on to this belief in God. He holds on to, and it changes how he makes decisions, how he lives, how he loves. Do you understand? It's the evidence. You stand, it's like I've said, you stand before God, you stand in a court, and is there enough evidence to convict you that you're a believer in Jesus? If they were to bring forth evidence, is there enough? Where's the evidence? Well, see, there's evidence in Steve's life. I've watched Steve because I introduced him to Jesus in 1993. And I've watched him since. Has Steve always done everything right? Ask him. He would tell you no. Ask her. It's his wife. His wife. It's wife. His wife. And what would she say? She'd say no. But you know what? She knows there's something different that happened in 1993. His life changed. Because he ended up with faith. He put his faith. There was evidence of him coming to meet Jesus. There was evidence. It changed. His life changed. His choices. His loves. His likes. His hates. Do you understand? Let's read Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, I don't, but I still believe. I still believe in God. I can't see Him, but I believe in Him. See, I know He's right here with me. My Bible says, and I just believe God is telling the truth. He said, I will never leave thee. Do you know that? He said he will never leave you. But you know what? People will leave you. I've had ministers tell me, we're lifelong friends. We're lifelong buddies. And I preached all over the country and then had preachers where God started taking me into things where they weren't willing to go. And then they cut me off because I didn't dot my I's and cross my T's like them. I didn't just go along with what they said. I remember I went to preach for a preacher, I think it was in Indiana, down in Indianapolis. And I preached and he heard me and then had me come preach to his teens. And he said he was going to have me come and preach to his church. And we were setting up the meeting. And while we were setting it up, he started asking me about people, other preachers I knew. And he started, no, what he did was he started running down a preacher that I knew. He started believing a bad story about this preacher. Well, I said, you know, I've watched the video of this preacher's life for years. And I said, I don't believe that. And the Bible says, receive not an accusation against an elder, but before two or three witnesses. And this guy, even if it was dual personalities, he wasn't two or three. I'm sorry. But anyway, I couldn't receive what he was saying. Just humor, don't worry about it. And the point is I said to him, I said, I don't wish to talk about that preacher. And I said, because I believe in him. And I'm praying for him. And I don't know this to be true. This is just a rumor. And I said, the devil's into division and subtraction. And I said, I don't wish to be part of his camp. So I said, I don't want to believe a bad thing about him. And even if it's true, we need to forgive him. We need to pray for him. We need to restore him. And you know what? This preacher, by me saying that, said, well, if you believe in him, then I don't want you coming and preaching at our church. And I'm like, and he's not the only preacher that's ever said that kind of thing to me. And I just said, that's okay. I'd rather be on God's side and lose coming here an opportunity than to take your side or not stand up and say the truth or stand up for somebody. See, I believe in Steve. And if there's accusations against Steve, I'm going to go with him. He's taken to court. He's taken to jail. I'm going to go with him. I'm going to believe in him. I'm going to stand with him. Can Steve make a mistake? Yes, he can. But I'm going to stand with him. Do you understand? I'm going to believe in him. Are you with me? Okay, let's keep reading. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by faith, the elders obtained a good report. I could give you many verses that this goes back and talks about, but it's talking about in the Old Testament or people that were before the book of Hebrews was written. It says God gave them a good report card because they had faith. That's what he's basically saying. They got a good report card. I'd like to have a good report card with God. How about you? You know how you get it? By faith. Okay? And faith comes by? Okay, I'm glad four of you got that. Okay, here we go. Verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Do you know that the Bible says that God made the world? You know that, or do you believe in evolution? I'm sorry, which is it? God made, anybody believe in evolution? Okay, it takes a lot of faith. You'd have to be a man of faith to believe in evolution, because there's a whole lot of miracles that have to happen for that to be true. Okay? My Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1. John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Okay? The same as in the beginning with God. All right. So let's keep reading. Verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God spoke this world into existence. He didn't have to have something to form it. It came about. He created it by his words. Just like we can assassinate somebody with our words. We can assassinate their character. We can tear them down with our words. You don't have to have a substance. You could speak death. Do you understand? You could also speak life. I've spoken into people before and they received life. I remember a man came to us and my wife and I talked to him. And as she spoke, he received the life of Jesus and was born again. And then we took him upstairs and we showed him this cross when we were in another building. And God had us talk to him about the cross, and he put his hands on the cross, and we spoke words into him. And this man had, what's that kind of cancer? Cancer down in there. And it wasn't a God. So we got rid of it. So we just spoke into him life, and he went back to the doctor. And I mean, immediately, he couldn't even put his pants together. This guy was going to school to be a doctor and didn't even believe in doctors. Okay? It was out on, when we were on Byron Center. And he didn't even believe in doctors, but he was going to school to be a doctor because it was all paid for. And he had gotten to where he couldn't even put his pants together. And when he came to us, his pants were unbuttoned because he couldn't even put them together. He had to wear stretch pants. You understand? And when we spoke life into him, all we did was just speak right out of this book. We just spoke what God gave us to speak. This is the Word of God. This does not contain the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Do you understand? You could print a verse of this in the newspaper and it would contain the Word of God. This does not contain the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Are you hearing me? You need to pick it up. Get this inside of you. It'll change you. And when we spoke that into this man, he, by faith, received it. And he said, I don't feel any pain. I said, well, what couldn't you do? He said, well, I couldn't touch myself. So he started touching himself, and he goes, oh, oh. He says, there's no pain. He starts taking his hand and jabbing himself, saying, there's still no pain. I told him, I said, he got up and started dancing around, you know. You know, he was excited, you know. I just got healed. Like some of you, you know, I just got healed. Okay? No, he got up and he got excited. You see what I'm saying? He was excited. He just got healed of cancer. We told him to go to the doctor. He went to the doctor. Guess what? The doctor ran tests and said, you don't have any cancer. Okay? It was unreal. It was by faith he received that. It was a gift. He received it by faith. The things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God didn't make the earth. He didn't go over to, you know, Menards and buy a kit and put together the earth. He didn't, you know, we said we created something. Well, we started with something. We didn't create it. God created it, and he spoke it out of nothing. He spoke us into existence. He made the things that, which we see by things which we couldn't see. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by faith, he being dead, yet speaks. Abel, the first son of Adam and Eve, the second son, he still speaks of his faith in God. He did what God told him to do. Cain didn't. Abel brought a blood sacrifice for his sin. Cain said, look, I'm a farmer, and I've got a bunch of fruits and stuff. I'm going to bring the best ones I have and bring that to God. And God said, hey, your fruits aren't going to take away. They're not an acceptable offering. So he wasn't doing what God said. He wasn't stepping out. He didn't have faith. How does faith come? Okay, anybody in here? Let's take Dave, okay? He's God, and that means he's not. Are you with me? Jesus is God, that means he's not. Or could we say, he's God and Jesus is not, which is true? I can't hear you. And he's not. That means, okay, that Daniel... See, he's God, and Daniel's not. He's God, and I am not. But we want to be the God of our life. We want to control it. We want to believe, but this is what I believe. But is that eternal? Is that eternally true? Will it stand up to the test? The test of asking just simple questions. By faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. We've got to get the Word inside of us. It will cause us to put faith in Him. And when we have faith in Him, what happens is our life becomes a testimony. Okay? All of these people in the Old Testament that's going to talk about in this book, this chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, I call it the Hall of Faith. Because it's talking about like a Hall of Fame, it's a Hall of Faith. It's talking about believers in God that through the centuries, over the last 6,000 years is what this is covering. Are you with me? These people, as they believed in God, what did they do? Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And by doing that, he obtained witness that he was righteous. He was right with God. He pleased God because he did it by faith. Cain didn't. Cain put faith in himself. Cain says, I'm going to give you an offering. Here's my offering, God. Just pretend he's God. Here's my offering, God. I expect you to accept that. That's my best. And God says, no, that's not what I required. You have to have blood for an offering for your sin. Because sin, okay, the only payment for sin is death. The only payment for sin is, and so he didn't mean killing a vegetable, okay? I plucked an ear of corn, so I killed it. Now I'm offering you the death of an ear of corn. Innocent blood. Hebrews, if you're in the book of Hebrews, if you want to just switch back two chapters, chapter 9, verse 22, it says, and almost all things are by the law purged or cleansed with blood. And then it goes on to say, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no removal. There is no forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood. That's why the only offering I can bring to God for my sin is the blood of Jesus. So let's go on and see what they did by faith. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated. You know who Enoch was? Who was Enoch? What happened with Enoch? Somebody tell me real quick. What happened with Enoch? He walked with God, and what happened? God couldn't wait until he died, so he brought him up to heaven, and he didn't even have to go through death, did he? That's right. They were walking along one day, and he just, you know, God, I don't recognize where we are. Where are we? God said, well, we just came to my house. How do you like that? I love it. How did he get there? Because it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found. Mrs. Enoch, oh, Enoch, it's time for dinner. Where are you? Hey kids, go find Mr. Enoch. He's been out walking with God again. He just went for a stroll. He maybe got carried away this time. He got carried away, all right, Mom. He ain't coming home. Okay, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. Now watch this. For before his translation, or being taken up, you know, like beam me up, Scotty, okay? Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he lives, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We were praying, I think it was Brother Rick said, I'm working, he says, but I'm not doing it for a check. I'm doing it to please God. What I do is to please God. I had a foreman ask me one time when I did a job at GM. He said, how did you do that job in 3 hours? He said, I normally have two guys take two full 8-hour days to do what you did in 3 hours. And I asked God, what do you want me to say to him? And he said, tell him this. I said, because I'm not trying to please you, Mr. Foreman. And he said, what? I said, I'm not trying to please you. I said, I'm living to please God. I said, I cleaned that area as worship unto God. I was on my knees where you told me to get in there. And when I came out, I was all black from soot and stuff that was there. And I was on my knees for that 3 hours cleaning it because I wasn't trying to please you. I said, I was trying to please God. And I said, I was doing this as worship unto God. And I said, I don't have to worry about pleasing you because His standards are higher. When I please Him, I said, you're going to be happy because you don't have as high of standards as Him. Do you understand? Why are you doing what you do? I do it, what I try to live is out of to please Him. I want to worship Him. I want to be with Him. I want to please Him. I want to give Him what He wants. I want to believe in Him. I have the same problems you have. Things happen in my life. You know, my wife was like saying yesterday, we're going to talk to the leadership on Tuesday about some building down the street that my wife's thinking we need to go buy, okay, right down the street. This morning, after she looks at Velcro a couple doors down, she wants to go move in there. And I'm going, Lord, we don't have enough money to pay for that. 5 years ago, when we told them we were going to start a church here, somebody in this place, we were starting a church here 5 years ago from scratch, and God says, I want you to go get a building. And I'm like, Lord, I don't have any money to get a building. And He said, go start looking. And I'm thinking, you're going to go start looking. And when people say it costs several thousand dollars a month, what am I going to say to them? He said, that's not your problem. Just go start looking. And I'm like, you know, Lord, here we go. Let's go make Harvey look foolish again. So here we go. Okay. Hey, would you rent me this building? Yeah. How much? Oh, $3,000 a month. Do you have it? No, I got maybe about 300 maybe, you know, and they're like looking at you like you're weird. And I'm like, okay, I don't understand, but I'm going and doing it. As soon as we came to this building, we had about, you remember Glenn, Roxanne, we had about, what, 10 people, something like that. And we all stood right here. There wasn't any chairs. There wasn't nothing. And we just prayed. And we said, God, if you want us to have it, you're going to have to make it happen. And somebody was with us, and they left. And they said, I got to leave. And I thought, okay, they're probably trying to duck out before, you know, we all get made embarrassed of here or something, you know. And so they left. They came back in about 30 minutes to our house, and they handed me an envelope. They handed me this envelope. And they said, God told me to go home and get this and bring it to you. And I said, okay. And He said, see you later. That was it. Now, my wife, if she would have been there, she'd have grabbed that envelope and start looking. She can't stand surprises. Me, I can wait on stuff. So I might have set it down. I don't know. But anyway, when we looked in the envelope, because the guy said, he said, it's $3,000 for this building that... He says, but because you're a church, he says, we'll give it to you for half off. And my wife said, well, we're just getting started. We had only had church for like 2 weeks and had about 10 people or something. And she said, for the first 3 months, could you let us have it for $1,000 a month? And the guy's like, look at that, I just told you half off, you know. But that's what God was moving on her to ask. And so she said that to him. And the guy looked at her and said, okay. Well, we didn't have $1,000 anymore than we had $1,500. There was 10 of us. You remember? I mean, I don't even know if there was 10 of us. You remember, don't you? You remember? Were you? You weren't there. Were you there? I'm trying to remember. You were there. Maybe. No, you weren't. You were in Georgia, weren't you? So, we opened the envelope. You know what was in the envelope? We needed $2,000 to move in. $1,000 deposit, $1,000 first month. You know, when we opened the envelope, you know what was in it? How'd you know that? How'd you know that? There was $2,000. It was actually about, I think it was like maybe $2,100 or $2,000, I don't know. But anyway, it was like basically $2,000. It was over $2,000, but right at $2,000, which is what the guy said you needed. And everybody else here had faith. Me, I was thinking God was going to make me pay for it. And I was thinking, Lord, I don't have it, you know. And I'm just telling you straight up. And I'm going, Lord. And my wife said, God said we're supposed to have this building. And I'm like, okay. God, you want us to have this building, you're going to have to give us $2,000. 30 minutes later, somebody puts an envelope in my hand with $2,000 in it. Now, we didn't know how we were going to pay for it the next month. We haven't known how we were going to pay for it for 5 years. Have you ever noticed when you come here, we don't ever pass an offering plate? Have you ever noticed? Why? Why? Why do you think we don't pass an offering plate? Anybody got an idea? Ah, it's between you and God. So, what if we picked it up and we went around and we put it in front of you? And we stood there until you put something in. How'd you like that? I've gone to a lot of places where they did that. Didn't make me feel comfortable. But what God said was, He said, did I call you to be here? And I go, yeah. He says, do you think, He says, can you trust me, Harv? Are you listening to me on purpose? He said, can you trust me without sticking that plate in people's face and just say, if you love God, honor Him. The Bible tells you how with your money, but if you, it's between you and God. I told right up front, ask Cecil, okay? Because he and Tom or he and others count the money. And I told him 5 years ago or whatever, whenever you started coming or started counting, I said, just say yes or no if you would be so kind, okay? No, wait till I say the question. You know, just with a... Okay, you ready? I said, I don't ever want to know who gives and who doesn't give. Did I say that? And have I ever tried to find who gives or who doesn't give? Because you know what? I want to love you whether you're doing right or not. Do you understand? I don't want to love you because you give. Because I've been in churches where if you give more, you get loved more and favored more. And if you give less, we don't listen to you so much. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't want anything to do with that. And I'm no better than those leaders, so I'm trying to set up safeguards to keep, protect my heart from having anything to do with that. So by faith, we put this little bowl over here, and we say, you want to honor God? Go for it. You love God? Go for it. And we don't even tell you we're from Missouri, show us. We don't even do that. We just say, we're just going to love you. Because by faith, we trust God. Now, let's say 1 month we don't have enough to pay things. What do we do? Okay, God, maybe you're moving us. Maybe you're wanting to do something different. Are you with me? It's like, I'm not going to worry about it. It's not my bill. When rent comes due on this place and we get it in the mail, we just hold up God and say, here, you got some mail. You got another bill. You want to take care of it? He either does or he doesn't. He either moves on your heart and you choose to cooperate, or it doesn't happen. And just so you know, my wife and I don't take anything from there. Do we take anything from there, Cecil? Have we ever taken anything from there that you know of? See, I have a statewide business. You see that little truck over there? It says Tub Glaze. I've had that over 20 years. I am not doing this for money. Okay? Somebody who does that, they need more. Okay? It's okay that they do. The Bible says you should provide for those that minister. But you know what? That's not, I'm not asking for that. I'm not doing it for that. Do you know why I do what we do? Because we love you. We love you. Not because you're always lovable, because to be honest, you're not always lovable. Okay, you left preaching and gone to Midland. Okay, let's get back to the word here. Rah, 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 rah. Okay. What I'm saying to you is, we don't pass that because of faith. God, you provide. It's in your hands. We're not worrying about it. We're trusting in you. We're here for you. Do you understand? How are you going to live? How are you going to live? Because what happens when you can't see? What happens? Can I tell you about an email I got yesterday? I just want you to know of something that's happening so that you'll be real careful. I think Steve sent it to me. Somebody was in a store and they paid for something with a credit card. And they, as they were signing it, they noticed it said on there, cash back, $40. And as they looked at it,
they looked, they said something to the cash register lady, whatever you call them, cashier, she never even said anything to them about giving them the $40. So anyway, in this email, several different people have had things happen where they look at their credit card receipt and the store is telling them, we're giving you cash back. But what it really is a cashier that's trying to make money off of you. And they key it in, then says $40 cash back. And then if you walk away and you don't say anything to it, because a lot of people don't look at their receipts, at the end of the day, when she goes to cash out her drawer, she takes whatever's extra. She just made more money than I did as a drug dealer. Okay? Now listen to what I'm saying. More and more ways people, you've heard of scams. People ripped you off. People ripped my mom off. She was eight in her 80s and people kept ripping her off. I kept saying, please, mom, let me take care of your finances so people won't be able to rip you off. But it took over $55,000 of getting ripped off and wasting before she finally let me help her with that. Okay? So she got taken advantage of a lot. Well, more and more people are going to take advantage of during this holiday season. So please look at your receipts, number one. Number two, during this holiday season, you're a woman and you carry a little, purse and everything bag. And be careful because a lot of people are needy and they're going to try to steal what you have. Be careful when you go to give your credit information at a store. Be careful about giving it because people can look over your shoulder. People can get your numbers and steal your information. Okay? You understand? That's why, you know, I heard of this really neat system of how we could beat that. You would never have a problem with it. It is. It's an infallible system. All we got to do is take like your number, let's say your Social Security number, and we just print it on your hand. We could even make it invisible so it only shows up when we scan it. But we put a number on your hand. Maybe we'd put one on your forehead, okay, and it would be invisible, okay? And then whenever you go somewhere, we just debit your account. And it would be infallible because you're the only one who has that number. Nobody could ever, you know, they'd have to steal your hand or your head. Do you understand? Sound like an infallible system? It's in the Bible. Did you know that? It's called the mark of the beast. Okay? If it ever comes down to, because it's coming, are you listening to me? Because we're talking about faith. See who you like to eat. We like to eat. It's coming to a place to where you're not going to be able to buy or sell without a mark. Right now, it's optional. They put it on some people. They put it on prisoners. They'll put little chips in babies and dogs and cats. Right now, it's optional. Have you ever noticed? Were you around when seatbelts were optional? Were you around? See, like I have a business and I used to be able to pay for my taxes that I pay every month, every week, however often I do it, every month. And it's around, let's say, $3,000 a month. And I used to be able to wait until the 15th, the day that it was due, and then I could go take it and deposit it into my bank. And write a check out to Huntington National Bank for 941 federal taxes, and then they would take it. Well, I just got a notice from my accountant saying it's no longer mandatory. I mean, no longer optional. You can't do that anymore. The government says now we'll take it out of your account. It's called electronic transfer, steal your money because we're the government tax or something. I don't know. And it just really bothers me. I don't mind paying the tax. I have a problem that they take it from me. Folks, what are we believing in? What are we putting our trust in? Because what happens when somebody says, Eric, you can't buy or sell without the mark? How are you going to live? Well, I've got little babies. Surely God wouldn't mind if I did it to take care of my little babies. Was there ever places in the Bible where people didn't have food and God provided for them? Was there ever places in the Bible? Where is that? Where places in the Bible for 40 years, how many people? It must have been two or three. He had a few with him, maybe 10. How many was it? How many? It was like around 3 million, two, 3 million. And how was God paying? How was he feeding them? He had like a food truck follow him around, catering service. Got a Egyptian catering service. That's what it was. We can make a bundle. Just follow this group around. They have nowhere else to turn. They'll have to buy from us. It doesn't even have to be good food. We can have processed American food. They would buy that even. You know, let's feed them McDonald's. You know, cardboard. Okay? Non-nutritional. Okay? Serious. What will you do? I'm just asking. Because it used to be you didn't have to wear seatbelts. It used to be all kinds of things. Did you know you didn't used to have a license to drive on the roads? There's all kinds of things you didn't used to have to do. Right? Right, brother? Sitting over there? And now they're mandatory. We have a whole generation of people who grow up don't even know that. What I'm saying to you is it's because it's what they're getting you used to. Here's what I'm saying to you. I want you to read the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and chapter 12. I want you to be a grown-up today. I want you to read it. I want you to see what these people did. I want you to notice what they did. They had faith by hearing the Word of God. They listened to God. They didn't listen to, you know, like my kids, when I would tell them stuff when they were growing up, they'd say, but Dad, everybody does this, you know, and I would say, no, I know five who don't. And I was talking about my kids, and they would always go, but Dad, you know, besides us, where everybody does this. And I would say, everybody else might be on their way to hell, but that doesn't mean I'm going to let you go there. Mr. Noah, Mrs. Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and their three wives were eight out of the whole world who didn't die in the flood. They rode the ark. Do you understand? I don't care what everybody else is doing. I choose to trust God. If you don't, I'm just asking you, what are you basing your life on? What are you believing? How the mouths of babes and sucklings is how perfected praise. Does it say that? Psalm 8. Isn't that cool? What are you believing? What are you trusting in? What are you going to base your life on? And if you say it's God, then I'm asking you, do you know this word? Are you reading it? Are you familiar with it? And when you go to read the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, you're talking, shh, hang on, okay, in a minute, all right? Watch this. When you're reading the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and 12, or chapter 11, as you're reading the different people that are in there and it's talking about what they did, write down which ones you know what that story was. You don't have to tell it perfectly, but which ones do you remember as you were writing down? How familiar are you with it? Because what happens is these people, I want you to jump down to about verse, listen to this, about verse 28, where is it? 20. Verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Barak. Wrong last name. Okay. And of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith, look what they did. They subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, God made them strong. They waxed valiant in fight. Here's a little teenager taking on a man of war called Goliath and dropped him like a bad habit. Okay? They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. And others, this is where I was wanting to get. Others, I'm wondering if you're in this group. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. You mean they were offered deliverance, but they would rather be tortured? Why? Harvey, we just nailed you to a cross. And we'll let you live if you'll just deny Jesus. No. Go ahead, cut my head off. Go ahead, kill me. It's like when that hitman stuck his finger in my face and said, I don't want to hear about Jesus no more. And he wasn't like making a suggestion. He wasn't saying like, would you please quit talking about Jesus? Do you understand? These people were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Why would somebody do that? Because they love Jesus. Oh, I heart my chihuahua. That they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. That's beatings, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were cut in half. They were tempted. They were slain, killed with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And while God's writing this morning, I never saw it before. I just saw God in verse 38, weeping. And just kind of lean down and just say, of whom the world was not worthy. The people that I sent them to weren't even worthy of these people that believed in me, that were bringing the message of deliverance and love and kindness and peace and life. They weren't even worthy. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. God loves you. But God has something for you, and it's not just so that He can, you know, bless you and then you just go and live like you want and do what it is you want. When He comes inside, it's going to change. That's why I tell people, When I'm talking to you, it's not just pray this little prayer and ask Jesus in your heart. It could be that simple. But it's not just a prayer. It's a person. His name is Jesus. It is God. It is your Creator. Do you want Him? He wants you. Do you want Him? Jesus, I'm just turning this time over to you. I thank you. I know I've talked a lot. And Lord, I'm just asking that you would minister your life through the words into each heart. I ask that you would help each one to realize you are for us. I love that verse. If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with us also freely give us all things? You're for us. And you're with us. I just love that. Lord, I'm asking that you would draw folks today. I pray that each one here would just count you worthy of the cost. Worthy of your calling and just say, it's you I want, Jesus. What else do I have that's worth holding on to? I'd rather not have anything and have you than have everything and not have you. Lord, I thank you for those here in this room that have already made that choice. Those here that are loving you, that are praying, even as we're talking, that you would be released, that you would be honored, that you would be refreshed by our choices today. I'm asking that you would burn truths, these truths, into our hearts and our spirits. And that it's not just about coming to church. It's about living you every day, hanging out with you, pleasing you by believing you no matter what we see, think, or feel. I choose to believe you, God. Even when I mess up, I'm going to come and bring it under the blood of Jesus. Thank you for that provision. And now I'm getting up to walk with you again. They can mock me. They can make fun of me. They can say words. They can reject me. But it's like I've got to have you, Jesus, because I don't have anything outside of you that even comes close to comparing. Jesus, thank you for tracking me down and bringing me to the end of myself and the foot of the cross and helping me to see myself through your eyes. See the truth about myself, bring me to a place of admitting it, and then seeing you as who you really are and that you love me anyway. And I say, thank you, Jesus. You know what? I love you, and I'm glad you're here. And I don't know how to be light. I'm sorry. I like to have fun. I like to joke and stuff like that, but I don't know how to be light. It's like they think I'm a nomad because I'm always intense, you know? I can't help it. I'm intense because it's like I need Jesus. I need Him. I've had so many people tell me that they loved me, and then not very long from then, they weren't around. People tell me they'd always be with me, and they weren't there. And I needed Jesus. And when He found me, it's like I've never met anybody like Him. And I just want to get you to Him. And I'm glad you're here. And I hope that He ministered in your life. And we're going to just turn on some music, or somebody will come play, or whatever. However that goes, I don't know. But we're releasing you. You stayed a long time. We're releasing you. You go if you need to go. If God's dealing with you, you just want to pray where you are. You want to talk to somebody. Talk to me. Talk to ministry team. The people that have badges. Please stand up. See badges. Okay. And just come. Because these are people we've trained, safe, and we just want to talk to you and get you to Jesus. And we care about you. Maybe you have needs. Maybe you have hurts. Maybe you need prayer. We just want to love you. Would you just let God love you through us today? And we're here for you. Okay? Thank you.